In that reading from the Gospel of John, we are told that the world did not know him when he came, that the nation into which he was born and who were by prophecy anticipating his coming did not receive him. I wonder if things have changed all that much. Does the world know him? Do we who are privy somewhat of him receive him? Many thoughts and many events will happen over this coming Christmas. Many enjoyments, maybe some things that we will regret, many things that we will remember, perhaps years to come, with thankfulness and with joy. Christmas seems to come around again and again, and we're thankful for that, for each new year that God gives us. But this is an opportunity tonight to stop and to pause and to think about not just Christmas, but who this Jesus is and how we should relate to him. And to help you to do that this evening, I want to ask you a question. Did you know that Santa once threw a punch? That Santa hit a church leader? It's true. It's, of course, to put a bit of Hollywood spin upon the event, because that's aimed at getting your attention. But it is true nonetheless, if we stick with the history of Santa Claus rather than the myth that is often celebrated today. You see, the name Santa Claus is derived from the name Saint Nicholas. Nicholas was a bishop in the early church. And Nicholas, along with many bishops and church leaders, attended a council of the church in Nicaea in 325 AD. The council had been called in response to the teaching of a certain man whose name was Arius, who claimed that Jesus was a created being, more than a man, more than an angel, but created nonetheless. A true man, but more than a man, but created nonetheless. He taught that Jesus is the Son of God who was created by God the Father at a point in time and therefore did not always exist. And the story goes that at first Nicholas sat there and listened to Arius argue his case. He listened quietly and patiently. But in the end, he could take it no longer, and he got up from his seat, stepped across the room, and he slapped Arius upon the cheek, across the face. You see, the truth that we had read to us from the scriptures mattered deeply to Nicholas. To him, it was not just a debating point. It was of crucial importance of how we may have a right relationship with God and the role that Jesus has to be able to play to accomplish it. If Jesus was created, Nicholas understood, then he is not truly and fully divine. But as we read in the opening words from John's Gospel, it is very clear, Jesus, the Word, already was in the beginning and all things were made through him. You can't make yourself if he is a created being. He can't be the one who created all things. He can create everything else, but he can't create all things. And he can't be there at the beginning. He has to become the beginning, not be at the beginning. The Apostle John is very clear as to the unique identity of Jesus. Indeed, he goes on to say that he not only was with God, at the same time he is God, he was God. He is God who came into this world as a real person with a human nature while not losing his divine nature. That's John's point. That's the point of the Bible throughout. That's at the very heart of the Christmas message. It is the good news. God has come on a rescue mission with a view to renew mankind. But to do that, he had to become man. But to be able to do it, he also had to be truly God. And here is the one who is truly man and truly God, truly human and truly divine. And that's what we sang in our first carol. You may not have picked it up because the language is a bit strange. O come, Emmanuel. That literally means God with us. Not just for us. That's great. He's on our side. He's interested in us. But God with us, who comes among us as one of us. And we sang there in verse 4 that he is the key of David to open wide our heavenly home. In our second carol, once in Royal David's City, we sang in the second verse, he came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. Here's a little exercise for you. Take your sheet book home, your song and reading book home, and afterwards, read through the carols, read through the readings from the Bible. Look for all the references there that speak of Jesus' identity. And see how often we have already sung tonight the recognition that he is God, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Lord and King of Kings. But why is that important and so important for Nicholas that he would get up and do this unchristian thing by slapping Arius across the face, simply because Arius rejected it? Well, we just sung, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. If we look at it and ask some questions, this is what it is telling us. Who is Jesus? He is the everlasting Lord, who from highest heaven comes down to be the offspring of the Virgin's womb. What did he come to do? It tells us there his mission is to see God and sinners reconciled, brought back together, brought in peace and harmony. How did he accomplish it? We're told there that he lays his glory by, that we no more may die. Even though he is God, he went to the cross. He didn't proclaim his deity, he didn't assert his rights as holy, but he took the sinner's place so that we would not have to die that eternal death on account of our sin. How can this life be ours? And we're told there through an inward spiritual regeneration, so radical as we have seen that it can be called what John calls it, a new birth, a second birth, born of God. You see, Christianity is not fundamentally about getting help for life. Christmas is not about getting inspiration for life, though these things often flow from it as well. It is first of all a message that we need help, and help has come. We need to be saved, and here is a saviour. It is a message that tells us that you are not saved even in the slightest by anything you or I can do. But it is something that is given freely through what Jesus Christ himself has done, in that he was obedient on our behalf, even unto death for our sin. And how do you become saved then? That's where you begin, with Jesus. Not just Jesus as a baby, but you've got to begin there too. Jesus, as the Bible has revealed him, he's not just a great teacher. He's not just an exemplary carer of other people. He is the eternal Son of God who became man. that as man he would die in the place of sinners. You begin by believing the news, the report about what has happened in history, in the person, the life and death of Jesus. Did God really become a human being? Did Jesus really live and suffer and die for you? Did he really rise triumphant over the grave? If that is the case, then all the other things the Bible says about how to live begin to make sense. But more importantly, it tells us that we need to come to him in faith, listening to what he teaches us by the Bible, trusting in him to have done this for us, for you. Christmas shows us that Christianity is not good advice. It is good news. It is gospel. When we see this, we begin to see, as Tim Keller put it, that Christmas, like God himself, is both more wondrous and more threatening than we can imagine. If he is the Son of God, as the Bible declares, you dare not turn your back upon him. You dare not reject what he freely offers you. But more than that, you can come running in full wonder and joy that he freely offers you life and will give it. This Christmas, will you investigate the mystery of Christmas, of Jesus? Will you consider him? Will you consider life? Let's sing together once more.